This is the Beers and Belts podcast. Welcome and be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google, and any other podcast service. This podcast is going to provide news, previews, and reviews from the world of pro wrestling each week. I'm the host, Phil Price, and I'm coming straight out of Charlotte. Be sure to follow and interact with me on Twitter and Instagram at Beers and Belts. So let's get into it. So last night we had AEW Full Gear, and if you didn't have the opportunity to watch it, you missed one of the best pay-per-views I have ever seen. Started off with Dante Martin in the ring with Tony Schiavone, and this is in the pre-show. Tony Schiavone, so Dante Martin is being recruited from Team Taz. He's being recruited by the Acclaimed now as well. The Acclaimed came out, made some comments about Minneapolis, which obviously got some boos from the crowd, and Dante Martin ended up giving them a dive out of the ring and hit him with some hands. So you know, he got the local crowd pop there by doing that. And then we jumped into the pre-show match, which was Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose versus Thunder Rosa and Hikaru Shida. This was a really, really good pre-show match. You had the smaller, quicker Thunder Rosa and Shida against the bigger, stronger Nyla Rose, Jamie Hayter, and they played off that for a good part of the match. You had Serena Deeb sitting ringside, who is ultimately going to be facing Hikaru Shida in the TBS tournament. With that, you had a bunch of back and forth. Like I said, you had the big ladies showing off their strength. You had Rosa and Shida showing off their quickness, and ultimately it came down to a Shida and Rosa victory. But it was a match that started off a little slow, picked it up, and ended with a lot of energy. So it was, for a pre-show match, it was one of the better pre-show matches that you're probably going to see. We then had some more video packages getting into the main show. And they kicked it off with Darby Allin versus MJF, which I wasn't expecting this to be one of the matches to kick it off, but it was. And man, it was something that lived up to the billing. It was a fantastic match, a lot of back and forth. I mean, they really did a lot to show that these guys are right on the same level. And as they're trying to make these two pillars of AEW, they really pulled that off. I mean, it was a match that really got the show going from the get-go. You had coffin drops. You had Wardlow and Spears come in at one point and try to intervene, which Sting batted them off literally with a baseball bat. Came down to it where it looked like MJF just could not beat Darby Allin. And so he went over and picked up Darby Allin's skateboard and basically handed it to him, trying to say, go ahead, hit me, wanting that disqualification. And so while the ref went and got the skateboard out of the ring, MJF pulled out his Dynamite diamond ring, punched him with it, and was able to get the pin with the side headlock that he said he was going to defeat him with. You know, outside of a victory that was one with a little shenanigans, it was a really fantastic match. I could watch this over and over again. And when the replay is available, I definitely am going to watch this one over again. It was a great way to kick off the show. A lot of energy moving into the next match, which was the Lucha Brothers and FTR, which you knew this was going to be a good match. I didn't know what way this one was going to go. You know, I could see this going either way. Anytime you have the Lucha Brothers, and really before I get into this, the Lucha Brothers entrance for this was wild. They had some military guys out there, Mexican flags, fireworks, pyro. It was an intense entrance. So they came in though, and a lot of back and forth here. It wasn't one-sided by any means. There were a lot of close two counts, almost had the victory for both sides. There were a lot of nods to Eddie Guerrero here as well, which was kind of a theme throughout the night. You had a lot of frog splashes, a lot of kind of swagger type moves that Guerrero used to do. So it was good to see the acknowledgement of him throughout the show, as he's somebody that me growing up, in the late 90s, big Eddie Guerrero fan. So it was cool to see some of the stuff that they were doing to honor him. End of the match came, and you had the FTR put the frog masks on, and they made comments about, oh, that's not the legal man. they didn't know, you know, who got pinned. But it really, like, the referees didn't really do anything with it. It was, okay, you're in here, you got pinned, and you lost. So Lucha Brothers retained in that. Again, really good match, really high energy. Curious to see who steps up next. I would like to see Proud and Powerful go after this. I think they've been in AEW for a long time at this point without really sniffing these titles and, you know, being in the title picture at all. Being some of the top guys in the show, being an Inner Circle, I think that would give some credibility back to Inner Circle. I know Jericho gives it credibility, and Sammy Guevara obviously give it its own credibility. But they've kind of been the extra guys, for lack of a better word. So I hope that they enter the title scene going forward. I'd love to see them against Lucha Brothers. And I mean, you know, the Lucha Brothers are going to have a good match against whoever they're going against. I think that's who I would like to see next in line for that. So from there, we went on to Bryan Danielson and Miro. And my prediction for this was that Miro was going to win, because you couldn't have Danielson win and then face Adam Page, because I thought Adam Page was going to win as well. I was expecting the Miro pin the entire match. And again, this was a great match as well. Very intense. I mean, they both work really well together. This was probably one of the better matches of the night as well. And yeah, I kept waiting for that Miro pin, and it never came. Danielson ended up winning this with a DDT and a guillotine, and Miro passed out in the guillotine, and that was that. So he had Miro had Danielson in his camel clutch game over a couple times, where you thought that, okay, this is it. It's about to end right here. And Danielson was able to get to the ropes. So it was a match that at different points you could see either person winning, but it was back and forth, high energy, no real missteps throughout this. Showed a lot of power, showed a lot of technicality between Miro's power, Danielson's technicality, and technical wrestling ability. Great match, and Danielson came away with the win here. So that had me questioning, okay, well, now what's going to happen in the main event? Still had many matches left to go, but that was the first thing that came to my mind. Oh, well, maybe they're going to keep the title on Omega for now. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Like I said, Danielson wins that. Huge pop. Would have been happy with either one of those guys winning because the storylines that are there right now are just so good. Moving forward, they could have made it work either way. So then we went to the Jurassic Express and Christian Cage versus Superclick, which was another shocking one for me. And this was a false count anywhere. They were all over the ring, had weapons out there, had thumbtacks on knee pads. You had a spot where Christian Cage jumped up off of, I guess it was one of the entrance tunnels in the crowd. Yeah, did a crossbody and luckily came out okay on that. But a couple big spots in this. It was a fun match to watch. You had Cage set up for a concerto on Matt Jackson. Jungle Boy took the chair from him, and he did it, and then he pinned Jackson for the win. So that was not one that I had predicted. That was good match, though. Good to see that they're really putting Jurassic Express over in this. You know, this was something where, knowing that the Young Bucks are EVPs and Cole is their buddy that they worked with in the past, I thought that this was going to be a let's give ourselves a win kind of match. And it's good to see that it wasn't. So the booking is still going good there. So next match was the Cody Rhodes and Pac versus Malakai Black and Andrade. Again, good match. I mean, these guys are all fantastic workers. They all know, you know, how to work with one another. Great chemistry throughout in the match. There was one spot where Andrade got tied up in the ropes trying to do something flashy and just kind of played it off with a little smile. But it was good. But the big thing here, again, that we've seen over and over is during this match, you had Cody Rhodes getting booed, Malakai Black getting cheered. So I know the visual is supposed to be that Cody Rhodes is a face and Malakai Black is a heel.
But that is not the way that the live crowd responded to that. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes moving forward. Cody Rhodes as a true heel, I think, could be a very fun and intriguing character. And, you know, Pac is a face, but he's that hard-ass face that we all know. So, but it was a good match. Wasn't quite expecting the ending that I saw. I expected Malakai Black and Andrade to pull out the win here, and it ended up being Cody and Pac, with Pac hitting a black arrow on Andrade for the win. So, good match, you know, high-flying stunts throughout this, power stunts throughout this. It was a good match. It wasn't one of the best ones of the night, but it was still a very, very good match, and it was entertaining, kept my attention throughout. So from there, we moved on to the Britt Baker versus Ty Conti match, which this is one that, you know, I felt Britt Baker was going to win this hands down and keep it moving. And that's pretty much what happened. There was a couple instances where Conti had gotten a couple close two counts. She hit her DDT and her TKO, so she got her big spots in and her big moves in. But ultimately, it was a roll-up pin for Baker. Baker could never quite get the lockjaw locked in. Conti avoided that every time that Baker tried to get it on. She was able to get to the ropes. It was a good match. We knew, like I said, we knew how this one was going to go. I don't think Conti is quite there yet as a challenger. I think the next person they're going to be looking at in line for this championship is probably going to be Thunder Rosa. I think she has the most credibility. We've already seen that match that they had that was a lights out match. You know, I think having another go between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa is going to be the best way to keep this moving with the title in the women's picture. And then, you know, Ruby Soho is another one I could see down the line them pushing. I don't think she's quite there yet either, though. So from there, we had the massacre of a match of Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, which, you know, this one was a late addition that got put in, but it was over the last couple weeks. Man, did they do a good job at building the program for this with their promos and just intensity and believability. They just destroyed each other. So in this, you did have, you know, some back and forth. Obviously, this started before the bell. You had Eddie Kingston come out and just go after CM Punk. You know, they went at it in just brawl style for a while. You had a spot where Kingston, you know, threw Punk into the ring post, and that busted his head open. They started going. You had Kingston have his hand slammed into the steps. Ultimately, we are looking at an ending where you had the guys just worn out. You had Kingston hit a superplex. Punk gets his go to sleep in and can't get the pin. He gives him another go to sleep and gets the win off of that. Throughout this match, though, Kingston was the one being cheered and Punk was the one being booed. This is something that I talked about in my preview. I figured Kingston was going to end up being the face in this and people would end up booing CM Punk. I don't know if it's going to be a heel turn for him, because at the end of the match, he did try to shake Kingston's hand, who just walked away, said, "Peace, I'm out of here," pushed the cameraman down, and he was gone. So, you know, call him a poor sport or a sore loser or just frustrated in his loss, however you want to put that. But, you know, Punk did the honorable thing by putting his hand out for a good match between the two, and Kingston shoved it away. So it'll be interesting to see really what they do with these two characters after this. You know, John Moxley would have been a tie-in kind of person, and with him being out, this is a feud that they could just keep going. I think as late as they pick this up, there's probably more life in it. So I would like to see a second go-around with this, or a, you know, redemption of respect kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the future holds for this. I could see it down the line having a Kingston and CM Punk alliance. That wouldn't shock me. Just creating a story that ultimately gets to that point. So that'll be interesting to see where they go. So from there, you had the match that I was least interested in, and it was probably the least interesting match of the night. The Inner Circle and Men of the Year, American Top Team, Minneapolis Street Fight. You know, you had a couple Eddie Guerrero tribute spots in this, with Chris Jericho hitting a big frog splash is the first one that comes to mind. It just wasn't a great match. I mean, it's people who are not wrestlers put into a wrestling situation, and it just, if you were a casual fan and you were just watching it, you probably enjoyed it and found some fun in it. And, you know, they had some things that I guess were local to Minneapolis as weapons, or local to Minnesota as weapons within the match, but it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I mean, I guess it is what I thought it was going to be, but I thought they could have a little bit more within this match. But like I said, Jericho hits a frog splash, hits it on Dan Lambert, and he got the pin with that. So that is how that one ended. And let's move on to the big one, the one that everybody cared about, which was Kenny Omega and Hangman Page for the AEW World title. And before this happened, you had Jay Lethal come out, and he was announced as the newest All Elite member. So Jay Lethal is now in AEW. He called out Sammy Guevara, said he wants a TNT title match, and Sammy Guevara accepted the match on spot. So we have that coming up this Wednesday on Dynamite. Be able to see Jay Lethal, Sammy Guevara, in a TNT title match, which is great, but it's also, I guess he'd kind of jump some people in line to get to that point, but we'll see what happens with that on Wednesday. Should be a good match, though. So, anyway, you get the Kenny Omega Hangman Page match. And first, what we had was Hangman Page come out with his horse, which, if you didn't know his horse's name, it is Hunter Horse Helmsley. So if you like puns, there's a good one for you there. So we got into this. Ultimately, I'm sure if you were listening to this, you already know that Hangman Page came away with the win. And big things that happened in this match. You had Page kick out of a one-winged angel. You had Page hit a couple buckshot lariats. The Young Bucks, who came down to ringside, give Page a nod. After, didn't try to help Omega at all, just gave kind of a "we approve" nod. And Page got the pin after the second buckshot lariat, came away with the title. Dark Order comes down and celebrates with him. So that partnership between Dark Order and Hangman Page looks like it's going to continue on. Great ending to the show. Was expecting maybe something else to happen, but that was the moment that it needed to be. You know, this was 2 years of storyline being wrapped up with Omega and Page going back to their time as tag team champions and the breakup there, the feuding of former friends and the Elite. So it was, you know, Page's redemption story finally came full circle. So it'll be interesting to see now at this point how long they keep the title on him. I've mentioned this before, that he is a better title chaser than title holder, I believe. And I think, you know, he's obviously going to have it for a few months minimum, I would say. I don't think he will lose it until at least the next pay-per-view. I don't think he's going to lose it on a Dynamite or a Rampage show. But it'll be interesting to see who they put up as the next contender, because right now we have, that we know, Bryan Danielson is the number one contender based off the match earlier in the night. But is that going to be a point where they're only going to have the title on Page for a little bit and hot potato it over to Danielson? I don't think that's going to be the case. And knowing how Danielson is, I think he is willing to take a loss to help Hangman Page look bigger and justify the title even more. Danielson doesn't need a title to feel big. He already feels big. I think he's going to have a bunch of bouts with people walking through the forbidden door. I do think that Page is going to defeat him whenever that match happens. It'll be interesting to see if they try to stay with a Page Omega feud, or if that is done, or if they're going to move on to somebody else. You know, I could see them pushing Malakai Black up into that role. I could see Adam Cole popping up into that role. You know, Young Bucks are already there. with the tag, you know, tag team with SuperClick, and I think you could probably find a way to get all three of them to have the title at some point. So I think that would be a good way to push that. All those guys can talk. They're heels that I think the Jacksons are heels that you can love to hate. It'll just be interesting to see the way they go. So anyway, that is the review. That was Full Gear. So we'll see what happens here going into Wednesday night. So,
all right. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find me on any podcast service, iTunes, Spotify, and Google. Again, we're coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And be sure to interact with me on Twitter and Instagram during shows at Beers and Belts. We will see you next time. Have a good one.